We're going to be talking about a really interesting book over the next few minutes of WGTD's morning show, a book called The Sender, a story about when right words make all the difference. The book is a work of fiction, but it springs out of something which really occurred to Indianapolis Colts head coach Chuck Pagano when he was diagnosed with a very serious form of leukemia. In the wake of that diagnosis, Coach Pagano underwent a really strenuous and difficult gauntlet of chemotherapy. And one source of strength for him in that gauntlet was a series of letters that he received from a very, very close friend. And we're going to find out more about that and about the difference that those letters made and about the book which has emerged out of that real-life story. And I'm very, very honored to have with me on the phone Kevin Elko, who is a very, very busy consultant who not only works with Fortune 500 companies but a number of different sports teams, including an array of NFL teams as well. The author of Nerves of Steel, The Pep Talk, True Greatness, and Touchdown, and this latest book called The Sender, a story about when right words make all the difference, published by Worthy. It's co-written by Mr. Elko and Bill Bosse. Kevin Elko, we welcome you to the morning show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me on.
I'm glad that we can have this this conversation. Just ahead of us talking about the real-life story that inspired this book, I'd love to just find out a little bit about the work that you do as a consultant, particularly with NFL teams. I think a lot of our listeners would be kind of curious to know what somebody like you, generally speaking, has to offer to NFL teams and their members and staffs.
I started out really coming and working on a draft to help them select really on attitude. I came in to work for the Pittsburgh Steelers initially, and we started to screen looking at the attitude of the ball player, and really we just looked at past behaviors and projected them in the future. It was called behavioral interview, and we did it all in Indianapolis. So I did it with the Steelers, did it with a number of teams. But then it really evolved into working on culture and focus and talking to the teams before they went out and played big games. I spoke to the Green Bay Packers the night before they won the Super Bowl. I spoke to Miami a number of times, Florida State before they won the national championship, Alabama before they won their national championships. And you really go and sort of get them to mentally focus. It was interesting what Kevin Durant said the other day when Oklahoma City won. He said, "I just let a mantra come out of my mouth all day long. Live in the moment, be in the moment." A woman won the gold medal for slope board, which I'm not sure exactly what that means. But she said afterwards, I watched her interview, they fascinate me. She said, "It's powerful being in the now." So I really teach people how to, if this makes sense, have a conversation with themselves and when they go out and play. And so that's what I do a lot now with Alabama. I was so lucky to do that with the Packers. I've done it for the Steelers and do it in a corporate setting as well. And it's a little bit, I'm sorry, it's a lot around this book. That's really what this book is about, is generating these conversations that empower you with yourself.
I'm just curious. I mean, I know some of what you studied in college was kind of in the realm of coaching and athletic training and so on. I'm assuming that you come to all of this with some background yourself as an athlete. Can you tell us a little more about your own athletic career and to what extent any of the principles that you like to share now with for instance, NFL teams spring out of your own experience, for instance, out on the playing field?
Well, my athletic career wasn't great because I chose the wrong parents. genetically, you know, your question is interesting. I got awards every year for being the hardest working and the most dedicated, and I'm still watching the game. So I concluded that genetically I just chose the wrong parents. But I was always fascinated by performance, and my studies were a lot in cognitive psychology, which is really the way that we generate conversations with ourselves. And I got fascinated with the research that came out on grit. I got fascinated with, you know, some of the work that came out in that area, how people who are successful, it really doesn't have anything to do with SATs. It didn't have anything to do with GRE. It had more to do with this internal conversation they had with themselves. And so what happened with my success, I have 19 championship rings. And all of them, what we do is we go and we teach them how to have grit. We call it GSD, how to get stuff done, and how to have accountability, which really goes more to ownership, not punishment, and to team up with someone, and how to really clear your mind. So my athletic career was probably much better. Hey, we all have our gifts. Evidently, I learned where mine were not. But being able to teach them culture, being able to teach the athletes how to clear mental clutter, stay on process, have what we call eye control, control what you can control, don't focus on what you cannot, and to do it over and over and over until that became part of their makeup has been where more of the success has been. And in this book, it's what we've done as this character took on cancer.
And I suppose because if you were an athlete, an eager athlete, but someone with less than stellar natural gifts or natural equipment, some of these other matters were in some ways, I suppose, of even more paramount importance to you as an athlete yourself. And it's probably one of the reasons why a lot of this became maybe more apparent to you. I mean, you connect that with all of your studies in psychology, and it makes sense that you would come away with a profound understanding of some of this than, for instance, a more spectacularly gifted athlete for whom all of this seems to sort of come naturally and effortlessly, who don't have to sort of take things apart.
I like your question. There was a famous author, and the gentleman that wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul had that book rejected 147 times. And I was talking to my daughter about this, who's a gymnast. And he has all 147 rejections on his wall. I said to my daughter, why? And she hit it. I have really spectacular children. I'm lucky, and I'm not trying to be funny. They really are a lot like my wife. She goes, because when they look at that, it tells them they didn't quit. And my daughter went to, she's on the beam, she's a gymnast, and she got stuck. Hey, we all get stuck. Somewhere we all get stuck. And what she really blew me away and even moved me emotionally is she got stuck on this one thing on the beam for 3 years, but she didn't quit. And so really when you look at the kind of things that this book tries to teach is we do have to get a sense of grit. The book originally when I sat down with Worthy and Books A Million, the people behind it, I go, I think we need to start getting more information out there about grit, about how do I generate these conversations, not quit, in our parenting, in becoming where you are in your position right now, what you're doing, to do everything. How do we get this internal dialogue so it becomes part of our fabric that when you get cancer and you're doing chemo, one of my best friends, Chris Mortensen's an MD Anderson right now, for ESPN, he's been getting treated for 2 months. What happens when you're getting chemo and you're doing all the right things, but you don't yet see the results you were hoping for? And so where you're exactly right with your question is how can I learn, develop that dialogue to not surrender and to keep on moving? And they find that the great athletes do have things like grit. They do things like deliberate practice, which means they go on and have an objective when they practice every single day, things of that nature. So yes, absolutely, if you can learn those skills, and that's a lot with what we tried to bring you in the book, The Sender.
Let's talk about that, and let's remind our listeners the book is called The Sender, A Story About When Right Words Make All the Difference. I mentioned at the top that this springs out of an experience of Indianapolis Colts head coach Chuck Pagano when he was diagnosed with a very serious form of leukemia. And during that gauntlet, a 90-day chemo protocol, he received nearly every single day a letter from a good friend. That letter, that friend was you. And tell us, first of all, had you ever done anything like that before? Had you ever had a friend who'd gone through a similar sort of difficulty where you offered this kind of relentless support and encouragement and advice to them? Or was this, in a sense, a first for you?
It was a first. When he called me, what he did is he called me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he called me Elks. I don't know why. We were at the University of Miami together for years. And he goes, Elks, I have leukemia. And I said, when did you find out? This is really the opening line of the book. And I go, where did you find out? He said, today, we just lost to Jacksonville. And my outside linebacker stood up 2 days ago and said, there's no self-pity in football. He said, I stood up, and I said, there's no self-pity in cancer, start my IV. And that's what I mean about this internal dialogue. So he moved me, and I thought in the morning, how can I help him? Because I think we have to start going after everything with not just the physical. I think we have to look at it psychologically. We have to look at it in the spirit and to attack this in all three realms. So I'm not a medical doctor. But I thought, how can I help him psychologically and in the spirit? And really kept on feeding him stuff every day that he can listen to. It was electronic messages. I put it on his phone so that he could listen to it during chemo. And the first thing I had to get him out of is all the energy we drain from getting into self-pity. My wife was watching this movie, Perfect Pitch, and I heard her laughing. She's on an elliptical machine. It was about these four young women who were singing a cappella at a university, and two of the women were refugees from a third world country. And they got thrown off the stage. And the one American girl goes, this is the worst thing ever happened to me. And the one refugee said, I had diarrhea once for 7 years. So, the whole thing is no self-pity compared to what? And I really believe part of his fight was because he stayed out of the thoughts to just suck all the energy from you. And I just thought, how do I help my friend to help his immune system help him? And there's a lot of research that says our immune system is closely tied to our thoughts. So, no, I haven't, and this is how this came about.
We should explain to our listeners that this book is, I think I've said it once before, is a work of fiction, but based very closely on this experience. In fact, the gentleman who is the friend in this book is patterned very closely around you. I mean, to the extent that, I mean, he also was an undersized aspiring athlete and so on, and probably some of the specifics of his background align with yours. Can you just say a word about the choice of creating a work of fiction that so closely reflects what actually happened between you and your friend, Coach Pagano, versus what would have been a perfectly valid choice to write a work of nonfiction that exactly told this story? Can you just help us understand that choice?
Yes. If you look at a lot of the books that are out there right now, if you look at the structure of them, they're written to keep people's attention. We wanted to keep a story in there to keep people's attention. The staff I work with at Worthy worked with some of the fabulous books Andy Andrews put out, The Traveler's Gift, which sold millions and millions of copies. So we thought, how do we creatively engage the listener, the reader, to grab these messages? And how do we do it over the course of the story? And there were some other things we wanted to add. I work with Nick Saban at the University of Alabama. I was with Nick last evening. We did a fundraiser for one of our ex-athletes who now has ALS. And I want to incorporate my daily interactions with Coach Saban as we develop culture at the University of Alabama. So I wanted to find a way to weave these stories into a story that kept their attention. If you look at a lot of the stuff written on Made to Stick, stories make things stick. And so we want to keep the reader into it that way, merge them in. And we want to even open up and add some other kind of messages we've got from our championship runs at Alabama and weave it in there. So we did it for those reasons, to keep the reader engaged, to kind of creatively put the lessons in there, and to also add some additional lessons we got from the University of Alabama.
We should say that in this book, the letters that this fictional character reads and derives such great comfort and inspiration from are exactly the letters that you wrote to your friend Coach Pagano. As a matter of fact, we're given the impression in the preface to the book that these letters have not been edited in any kind of way at all. A lot really jumps out at us, in fact, about some of the wise words that you share, including words from the very first letter quoted, in which you actually share a biblical principle from the Gospel of John about how we are sometimes pruned by life's circumstances. Just explain how this image of being pruned can, in a sense, be a source of comfort for somebody experiencing what your friend was experiencing.
If you ever get to a gardener, a really good gardener, a gardener will look at a tree or a shrub, especially a fruit tree, and he or she will study that tree and realize that up through that tree is sap. The sap carries the energy, and the sap will go out into some branches, and it will go out into part of the tree that will bear no fruit. And so really those branches are sucking energy, but they bear no fruit. And a really good gardener will go and prune away those branches so that the energy sap can go more so into the branches that bear fruit. He or she will clip them away. Now listen, there are thoughts like those branches. Judgment. I really believe all of our upset comes from comparison. Comparison, my state today to where it was yesterday. Comparing me to someone else. Comparison will make you miserable. Why me is another thought. Self-pity will suck all the energy. I really believe the dilemma of today is offended. We have an offended epidemic today. And I don't mean offended by situations. There are some situations that are offensive. But we have a spirit of offense that sucks our energy. And if we're going to heal, if we're going to go bless and help people, if we're going to go do our gifts and let them come out of us, the first thing is get out of your own way. If you don't conquer the self will conquer you. So what I was trying to tell Coach Pagano in the opening is for your body to heal, prune. And prune away all thoughts will suck energy so that those thoughts can go and your body can go and heal. Now watch this one. There are people like those branches. Now please, listeners, don't listen to this interview and go get a divorce. I'm not saying that. But we do have to be careful of toxic relationships. There are some people that we stay with out of guilt and it sucks the energy. We do need to have uplifting thoughts. And we do need to have uplifting meditation because the world will bring the others by themselves. And we do need to get uplifting people in our lives. And so the pruning is prune away those things that suck the sap and suck the energy. And so replace them with things like, can I be a blessing? Replace those with things then, no judgment. Replace those with those kind of things as I'm going to live fully today. Carrie Good was with us last night. He has ALS. He stood up on a podium and said, I've given a diagnosis, and all that diagnosis made me do is live like I'm dying. I'm going to enjoy every minute of my life. A thought that prunes away the rest.
Hmm. We have time for just one other letter to touch on, and I appreciated this so much. It comes well into the book, actually the 34th chapter of the book, in which... the character in the book takes out one particular letter that he had read a lot. The narrator says it was really worn like a teenage love letter that gets read 100 times. So very likely the coach had looked at this quite a lot. And in this letter, you talk about fighting weary. You say, I want to talk about fighting weary. It's easy to fight when we are fresh. But how you have success in parenting, success in business, success with our health, overcoming the condition of cancer, is we learn how to fight weary. I think that's such an intriguing concept. In just the minute or two that remain, say a word about how important it is to understand and how to fight weary.
The great golfer Jack Nicklaus says, every great golfer understands the art of golfing badly well. And we want to do everything perfect, but it's golfing badly well. And Chuck Pagano sent a letter to Chris Mortensen, go kick cancer's butt. He'd say butt. Chris called me and said, it's kicking my butt. I said, Chris, fight weary. Go fight weary. And it really came from one time in the Old Testament, Gideon went to another tribe, and he went to another tribe. This general says, my men need bread. They're fighting weary. There'll be a time when we're parenting, and you just have to do the best you very can in that moment. There's times where maybe you're trying to get your health, and you do the best you can in that very moment. And my mother gave me a great phrase about parenting teenagers. They will get it over a long period of time all of a sudden. And we want everything to look pretty, but do the very best you can in that moment. And so I said to Chris Mortensen, I said, Chris, today with your cancer, your goal might be just to walk across the room. Today your goal might just be to go, you know, to get up to go to the bathroom by yourself. Just fight weary. Don't judge it. Keep on moving and give all you've got to this today. But what we do is, here's the problem. When we get weary, we get emotional, and we let our emotions take over. So I tell people this phrase all the time to fight weary. Keep doing the right thing. Your emotions will catch up with you. Because our emotions will take over, and we surrender. Keep going. It's not an emotional choice. It's a logical choice. Like Jack Nicklaus says, learn how to golf badly well.
Well, there's a whole lot more wisdom packed into this wonderful book called The Sender, a story about when right words make all the difference, published by Worthy Press, and one of the authors, Kevin Elko, whose real-life letters of encouragement to Indianapolis Colts head coach Chuck Pagano made a huge difference in his battle with leukemia and forms the framework for this book. Kevin Elko, I thank you so much for joining me today on The Morning Show. It's been great to talk with you.
I really want to compliment you the way you took time to research before you did that interview. That was classy. That was excellent. You can get the book at booksamillion.com or amazon.com. To you, well done, my friend.
Thank you so much. All right, there we go. Tape is off, and it's nice of you to offer such a lovely compliment.
No, that was excellent. I mean, you know what? Sometimes you'll get interviews, and it's, you know, sort of a lazy interview. For you to take that time to do a professional like that, that was class.
Well, thank you. You know, one of the things I tell authors when I hear that is that I do it as much out of selfishness for me as I do it for the sake of my listeners and the author, because I think it would be so boring to do one generic interview after another where you're just kind of bluffing your way through. It's so much more interesting for me when I've read a book and really know what's going on and what was trying to be said, and then can really do a worthwhile interview. I mean, it just feels better for me. So anyway, I was glad to be able to do
it. I've done a couple hundred of those. I mean, that was, I mean, just, first of all, your voice is just a real relaxing voice. Second part of it is when you went in tonight, go, my goodness, this gentleman put some time into that. I really appreciate that. I've had interview about last week, and a guy asked me about Donald Trump. And
oh, dear.
That's how we got done. I said, Mike, it went well. I mean, I could take it any direction, but I thought, I don't think this guy took much time to look this over. That was excellent.
Well, glad you enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Best wishes.
Thank you. If I could do anything in the future, you let me know. That was really nice.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Take care.
All righty.
Bye-bye.